Well, amen. Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, would you open up with me to the Gospel of Matthew? Matthew chapter 10 will be our place. And I feel like Lottie's just like staring at me. I'm gonna move her over just a little bit here. I told Eric I wanted Eric to do the welcome today so he could stand next to Lottie and show everybody how tall he was. So let Eric do that welcome today. But on that note, I do encourage you to give generously. Please give generously to that Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We're so thankful for our missionary partners, over 3,000 missionaries that we support at Southern Baptist that go all around the world in some very hard places to share the good news of Jesus with people who've never, ever heard his name. And they can't do it if we don't support them. So join me in giving to that. And also in your bulletin today, there's a little prayer guide. This week is our week of prayer for international missions. And I want to encourage you to take some time each day this week to pray for the missionaries that are highlighted and lift those needs up to the Lord. In Matthew chapter 10 today, we're going to continue here in our study of the Gospel of Matthew. I mentioned to you last week that as we go through this passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 10, at first glance, there's not a whole lot of Christmas stuff in there, but we're going to draw some parallels and some themes, and we're actually going to see that there's a good connection here to the birth story of Christ in this passage of Scripture. So Matthew chapter 10, follow along with me. I'm going to begin in verse 16 today and read down through verse 25. Now, I'll warn you, as we read these verses, they're not cute and cuddly and warm. They're hard verses and they're tough verses. And so I pray that God will help us as we study them together this morning. But follow along with me if you would, beginning in verse 16, Matthew 10, verse 16. Jesus is speaking here and he has sent his disciples out. And here's what he says: "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. You will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household?" Would you pray with me this morning as we look at God's word together? Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for speaking. Thank you, God, for loving us enough to make everything clear for us. God, everything we need, your word says, for life and for salvation, for godliness. God, it's all there for us in your word. We thank you for its truth. I thank you, Father, that you love us enough to tell us the truth even when it's not easy. And today, as we take a look at this passage of Scripture, God, that is a tough pill to swallow, I pray that you would help us to understand what it means, that there would be no confusion, Father, and that we would read these verses and not be fearful, but God, that we would be emboldened to go out and to share the good news of Christ, not just this Christmas, but all year long. So, Father, lead us in your word today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, thinking about Christmas time, one of my favorite things about Christmas is looking at the different nativity sets and nativity scenes. We have several in our home, different nativity sets kind of scattered around the house, and I love looking at those. It's just always, I don't know, it's just something nostalgic and special to see those nativity scenes every single year. And, you know, thinking about the nativity scene and the manger scene there, you know, there are a lot of animals. If you look at the nativity set, there's always a bunch of animals in the nativity, right? I mean, you have, of course, Mary and Joseph rode a donkey to Bethlehem, and you have maybe the cow over here or maybe another animal over there in the stable. But no nativity set or no manger scene is complete without what? without some sheep, right? I mean, because sheep are like they're the main character as far as the animals go in the birth story of Jesus, right? Because where were the shepherds? They were out in their fields watching over their flocks by night, and then naturally they run to see Jesus. So thinking about that last year, Ruthie, our youngest daughter, she was her little preschool class. They put together a little Christmas pageant, a little Christmas program, for the preschool, and so she was a sheep, and so here she was, and they all dressed up as little different characters. Ruthie was a sheep. She had the little floppy ears and this little puffy outfit on, and y'all, she was so cute. Like, it was the best thing ever, watching my little girl come down the aisle there to go stand next to Mary and Joseph and sing songs about Jesus's birth. And when we think about sheep at Christmas, that's what we think of, right? The cute little kids, or the fluffy sheep, or the little figurine in your nativity set. There's the sheep right by the manger. Well, in today's passage of Scripture, Jesus tells us something about sheep, and we're going to draw a connection to the Christmas story, but we don't see a picture of cute and cuddly. Instead, Jesus says, we're like sheep who have been sent out to be in the midst of wolves. In other words, today, we're going to see that Jesus calls us to go and share the gospel, and as we do, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be very hard, and in fact, it might even be dangerous. Now, remember the context. As we were in Matthew 10, this chapter is all about Jesus sending out the disciples. We began by looking at who the disciples were. We went through all 12 names, studied who they were, a little bit about them, and we likened ourselves to them. God calls ordinary people to go out and share the gospel, right? And then last week, Jesus sent them out and he told them, preach, teach, reach, do ministry in my name. And we talked about how, you remember the illustration, the mail carrier, right, delivers all the letters at Christmas. Jesus sends us out, right? Our community needs Jesus and we've been sent to deliver him. That was the big idea last week. And all that does, that sets the stage for today's passage of Scripture. If Jesus sends us out to declare the gospel and to do ministry, here's what he says we can expect. Look at today's big idea with me. As we take Jesus to the world will oppose us. As we take Jesus to the world will oppose us. Now, I'll be honest, right here we have to kind of pause because we've talked about, man, the gospel and the good news, and we're called to minister and share, and all that sounds great. And then Jesus hits us with this. By the way, as you do it, here's what you have to look forward to. And so this morning we're going to look a little bit about persecution and what does it mean to be ready to face these difficulties as we follow Jesus Christ. So grab your outline and follow along as we walk through these verses together. And then ultimately we're going to find ourselves back at that same nativity scene in the very end. Jesus gives us several things here in this passage. As we go with the gospel, he's going to tell us several things. First of all, he warns us. Jesus warns us as we go. We look at these verses and we see right there in verse 17, he says to beware. And so as we think about what do we need to be warned about, what do we need to be wary of, there are three things here in these verses that I want to highlight for you. We're not going to necessarily go verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. We're going to kind of jump around, but we're going to cover the whole text as we go. Three warnings Jesus gives us. Number one, we will be persecuted by the world at large. We will be persecuted by the world at large. Go back to the opening verses with me. Jesus said, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they'll deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. You'll be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. Before we get any further, let me clarify something. I mentioned to you last week that as we were looking at the disciples being sent out, Jesus gave that specific group of people a specific command for a specific area at a specific time, right? Well, now today, as we get into this portion of Scripture, that command broadens, and Jesus isn't just speaking about a short-term mission trip for those disciples, those 12. He's giving all of his disciples instructions and all of his disciples warnings, and so these verses very much apply to us. And what does Jesus say? He says, beware, beware. Beware of who? Beware of men, he says. Now, he's not talking about male figures. He's not saying beware of just the men. That's not what he's saying. He's saying beware of mankind. Beware of people. The Greek word there implies all people. Why should we beware of all people? Well, he tells us, as we go out in Jesus' name, as we share Jesus with people, as we live a biblical life, as we try to line up our lives with a worldview of Scripture and the gospel, the world will oppose us. And as the world opposes us, what will it do? He says that they will drag you, deliver you over to courts, and flog you in their synagogues. In other words, he says, as we live out the gospel, as we share the gospel, we will face political and legal challenges, that we will face being dragged even into courts for the sake of the gospel, that we will have to stand on trial for the sake of our faith. Now, we read this, and guess what? That's not far off, is it? Because we see this happen even right here in our own backyard. I mean, over the last several years, there's been a variety of cases where believers, simply for living out a biblical life, have been dragged into court, even all the way up to the Supreme Court. We've seen cake bakers and artists and photographers and all sorts of people who simply are trying to live a biblical life who have found themselves in the midst of a courtroom standing trial, all because they're trying to honor God and his word, and because they're trying to share the gospel like Jesus calls them to do. Jesus said that this is going to happen. Why? Because the world opposes his message. But it doesn't stop just with a court case. He says they're going to deliver you over to the courts, but then he says they're going to flog you in their synagogues. Now, what does this mean, flogging? We don't talk a whole lot about flogging anymore, right, in our culture, right? What does it mean? It means to be whipped or to be beaten. The flogging there in the Jewish synagogue, you think about the trial and the ultimate crucifixion of Jesus. You remember Jesus was beaten and he was whipped. This is what it was. It was a whip that had lashes on it, leather lashes, and you would take it and you would beat someone up to 39 times. That was the maximum number they would allow. And Jesus said, this is going to happen. As you follow me, as you proclaim the gospel, you are going to not just be dragged into court. There will be physical persecution. There will be beatings. There will be imprisonment. There may even be death in store for people as they follow Jesus Christ. Why? Because the world opposes Christ, and they're going to oppose those of us who follow him too. Now, when we look at these verses, you may say, well, that's a little extreme there, Pastor. Like, I mean, you know, we're talking about flogging and persecution. You know, we don't see a whole lot of that around here in these parts. And I'm thankful we don't see that extreme example in these parts. But guess what? It happens. It happens all around the world, even right now. Right now, you may remember I shared this with you several weeks ago. Right now, there are more Christians who are killed for their faith than ever in history. Any other time, right now in our current society, not just in America, of course, but all around the world, believers suffering the ultimate price, being dragged before governors, dragged before rulers, facing court sentences, facing physical persecution. Why? Simply because they follow Jesus. So here's the takeaway for us in this. Jesus tells us persecution is going to come. We need to understand this. Look in your notes. The world won't just hate us for following Jesus, and will try to hinder us from following Jesus at whatever the cost. It's not enough for the world to say, we don't like what you're doing. As you proclaim Christ and live a biblical life, the world will oppose us to the point even of physical persecution and even death. It's not being overly dramatic. It's just simply sharing what Jesus taught us. The world will oppose us. We will be opposed by the world at large. But there's another group Jesus speaks about. When he warns us as we go out with the gospel, he says, we're going to be persecuted by the world at large. But then secondly, he takes it to the next level and says, we're going to be persecuted even by those that we love. We'll be persecuted by those that we love. Listen to verse 21. Brother will deliver brother over to death. The father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. So listen to what Jesus just did. Jesus just went from this kind of broad, kind of loose, everybody, this is kind of the whole world kind of deal, and he took that idea of persecution and he drilled down and put it right there in our own homes. He says, there may be people, even in your own family, who oppose you and persecute you on behalf of the gospel. Listen to who he said, brothers, parents, children, all who turn on each other because someone decides to follow Jesus and the other person doesn't like it. Now, you may look at these verses and you may say, well, you know, that'll never happen here, right? That won't happen in my family. Like, my family all loves Jesus, and I hope that's the case. But that's not the case for everybody. And listen, this isn't just in some far-off place. There are people right here in our own family, in our own church family, our own faith family, our own fellowship, people who are facing this right now. I know of personal examples of siblings who are at odds with one another because of the gospel, of parents who don't have good relationships with their kids because either the kid's a believer and the parent's not, or vice versa, because the parent's a believer and the kid's gone wayward. I know of people right here in our midst who are facing this issue. We shouldn't be surprised. Jesus said it was going to come. Now, I'll be honest, it doesn't make it easy, right? I don't like that verse. I don't rejoice in that verse. But it's the reality. Jesus says even our own families are going to be divided over the sake of the gospel. So what do we do? Why is this happening? Why are we facing these challenges? It's because we follow Jesus, which leads to our third point. We're going to be persecuted by the world at large. We're going to even be persecuted by those that we love. Why? We're going to be persecuted because of the Lord. That's the bottom line. Jesus tells us we're going to be persecuted because we're followers of him. Verse 24, he says this. He says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So here's what Jesus says. Why is the gospel so polarizing? Why should we be not just maybe not just expecting persecution, but even honestly looking for it to happen? Why is persecution so rampant amongst the Christian church? Jesus tells us. It's because they hated him first. If they hate the master, he says, how much more are they going to hate those who follow the master? We shouldn't expect. Listen, we think about Jesus and we think about persecution. Jesus suffered, right? He was arrested. He was opposed his whole ministry. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was ultimately crucified. And many of us look at that and say, well, that was Jesus. If I follow Jesus and do things that I'm supposed to do, Jesus won't let that happen to me. But right here, he says just the opposite. He says, how can you follow me and expect a different outcome? If they oppose the master, they'll oppose the servant. If they oppose the disciple maker, they'll oppose the disciple. And he gives us an illustration of this. He says, let me give you an example. He says, if they called the master Beelzebul, how much more will they oppose those who follow him? Now, Beelzebul is not a name we throw around a whole lot. What does it mean? The term literally, it was a derogatory term used of Satan. But here's what it means. It literally means, and this is just what it means, okay? It means Lord of dung. That's what Beelzebul means. Lord of dung. Lord of refuse. Lord of trash, to use some gentler euphemisms. You know what it means. That's what the world called Jesus. That's what the Pharisees thought about him. That low. And if they oppose Jesus that much, Jesus says they're going to do the same thing to us. Here's the thing. If you follow, we sing the hymn, right? I will follow in the steps of Jesus. If we follow the steps of Jesus, it will lead us down a path where we will be persecuted. The Bible is full of these verses, replete with these verses that tell us this is not something to be surprised about. We will face persecution and opposition as we follow Jesus. That's the warning of Christ. Now listen. Merry Christmas, we're going to be persecuted, right? That's not what we like to hear, especially this time of year. But Jesus tells us he came and he was persecuted and we will be too. So he warns us, but he doesn't leave us there. Praise God, he doesn't leave us there, right? He tells us, you're going to be persecuted as you faithfully follow me. So here's what you need to do. And that leads to our second point. Jesus not only warns us, but he instructs us as we go. What does Jesus tell us we need to do? We're going to look at several things. We don't have much time today to look at them, so we'll hit them really, really quickly. What are some actions that Jesus calls us to take in the face of persecution? Number one, he says we should be wise. We should be wise. Verse 16, he says, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents. All right, now when we think about the Bible and animals, we think like, all right, Jesus calls us to be like certain animals, right? Be like the deer that pants for streams of water, or we're like the sheep that follows the shepherd, or we're like the eagle that soars up as we trust in the Lord. Like, we like those illustrations. But Jesus now says, I want you to be like a snake, okay? Yes, a snake. How many of you hate snakes? Anybody hate snakes? Some of you loathe snakes. Many people just can't stand snakes, right? Because snakes are just creepy and weird, and we don't like little things that crawl around and bite people, right? So why would Jesus call us to be a snake? Well, we think about it here. Obviously, Jesus is not calling us to be wicked or conniving. That's not the illustration he gives. Instead, the snake, even though it's mostly feared, it was considered to be the shrewdest of animals, cunning, smart, wise, right? Aware of what was going on. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying you need to have a proper mindset. Be alert, be aware, be shrewd, be wise. Why? Because we're going to face persecution. Jesus told us we're going to face difficulty, opposition, dragged before courts, flogged. All these things are coming, he says, for those who follow Jesus. So what do we need to do? He says we don't need to be naive. Just because we're going to face persecution doesn't mean we stick our heads in the sand. It doesn't mean that we ignore it. We face this reality with clarity. We face it with wisdom. What does this look like? It means that when we're persecuted, we need to be wise in what we say about Jesus, not just mouthing off. It means we need to be wise and even in what we don't say sometimes. We need to be wise in the conversations we choose to have, and sometimes realizing this conversation is not going in a good direction, I need to back off. We need to have wisdom in all of these circumstances and all of these situations. Jesus doesn't call us to be naive. He says to be wise. Be wise as serpents. Secondly, we should be innocent. He says, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. All right, this was a little better, right? We like doves. They're nice and soft and fluffy and cute, and they are the symbol of purity. It makes a little more sense to us. What's Jesus saying? He's saying we should have that same level of innocence as a pure dove. In other words, as we face persecution, we're going to face that as we follow Jesus. As we live a biblical life, as we proclaim the gospel, people will oppose us. But here's the choice we have. We can either be persecuted for what's right, or we can do what's wrong in the face of persecution. Jesus says, as we're persecuted, be innocent. Be innocent in what you say. Others may revile you. Don't revile them in return. Isn't that what he taught us earlier in the Sermon on the Mount? Don't fall into the trap of speaking lies or speaking ill about someone. He says we're to be innocent even in the face of persecution in our words, our attitudes, and our actions. But there's a third thing he tells us to be. As we face persecution, he says we should be bold. We should be bold. Verse 18, you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. Now listen to this. That does not sound fun, does it? Being dragged before people, having to give an account for our faith. But there's a really neat silver lining in that verse. He says, as you follow me, you're going to be arrested, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be dragged before people. Why? What's the phrase? To bear witness about me before them. In other words, you're going to have an opportunity to witness, to share about what you've seen, to share about what you've heard. Bottom line, you're going to have opportunities to tell people about Jesus as you're dragged before these people and persecuted. And this is what we see in the New Testament, right? You know the story. Fast forward. What did the disciples face? They faced persecution, right? If we read in the book of Acts, we don't have time to read the verses, but I listed some in your outline today. Go to Acts. Acts chapter 4. Peter and John, what do? They go to the temple, right? They heal the man by the gate called Beautiful. He jumps up. He was lame. Now he's leaping. And they, what do? The crowd gathers. They share the gospel. Who hates it? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin. So what do? They arrest Peter and John. They drag them before the council and they say, what is this that you're doing? And guess what they do? Share the gospel. Acts chapter 5, all the disciples get corralled up. They all get dragged before the council. The council says, what is this that you're doing? Why do you keep talking about this Jesus guy? We told you not to. What do? They preach the gospel. Fast forward to Paul, the last few chapters of Acts. Paul, the great missionary, right? Went all over the world, persecuted all the time. Ultimately, he's arrested in Jerusalem, dragged before ruler after ruler after ruler, governors, councils, kings. Paul stands trial however many times. And what does he do every single time? Shares the gospel. Here's the truth, church family. Will we face persecution? Yes. Will it be easy? No. Will it be fun? No. Is it what we want? No. But here's the thing. What if God allows you to go through a time where you're opposed, where you have to give an account for yourself, where you stand before someone else simply to give you an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus? Could it be in God's sovereignty, he allows us to face opposition to further advance the gospel? So what do? We should be bold. I put there a little note there in your outline. For those who follow Christ, persecution isn't optional. It's inevitable. The question isn't, will we face persecution? It's how are we going to respond when we do? Will we respond with fear or with boldness? And that leads to our next point. We should not only respond with boldness, but we should also be unafraid. We should be unafraid. Verse 19, when they deliver you over, do not be anxious about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. Now listen, many of us grew up with an apprehension, maybe at best, or even a phobia at worst, of speaking in front of other people. Anybody just Public speaking, just terrified of that. Anybody terrified of public speaking? You know, I remember like ninth grade speech class. Oh no, like I do not want to stand up in front of other people. Most of us just kind of shy away from that. How much more would we be tempted to shy away from standing up in front of people, in front of other people who want to take our heads off because of what we're saying? It's not exactly an easy thing to do, right? What does Jesus tell us? He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about the words you're going to say. Don't worry about what's going to come out of your mouth. Don't be afraid of the circumstances. He says, I'm going to be with you. Now, we're going to look at that a little bit more later in this message, and we're going to look at this idea even more next week as we think about this idea of not having fear. But Jesus tells us as we face persecution, we don't have to worry because the Spirit's going to be with us. You know, if you're like me, sometimes I wonder, well, what if I say the wrong thing? Or what if I don't remember the Bible verse reference, right? Or what if I don't know how to lead somebody to Jesus? Like, we have these fears sometimes that keep us from sharing Christ. And Jesus says, if you just trust me and walk with me, my Spirit will give you the words to say. You don't have to worry about defending Jesus. Jesus will defend himself. That leads us to our next point. We should be faithful. We should be faithful. Jesus doesn't call us to have all the answers. He doesn't call us to have it all figured out. Jesus doesn't tell us that we've got to do X, Y, or Z in fancy ways or fancy things. He just simply says, be faithful. Verse 22, look at this. He says, you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Did you hear that word? What's our call? Endure. Endure. What does that mean? It means to stick it out. It means to last. It means to not quit, to not give up, to not give in. It's the old Winston Churchill quote, right? Never give up, never give in, never, 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 right? That's what Jesus is saying. Endure. Keep it up. Don't give in. Don't give up. Keep standing on the truth of the gospel. Why? Because it's worth it. In the end, we will be saved. Endure. But then one more application he gives us here. As we face persecution, we should be intentional, he says. Intentional. Verse 23, when they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. This is interesting. We see a command here, and then we see a highly debated verse. What Jesus says here in these verses, the application is simple. Listen to me. He says, as we face persecution, we don't have to necessarily seek it out. He says, if you go to one town and you're persecuted, go to the next town. It's the same thing he told the disciples earlier. If you're not received warmly, shake the dust off your feet and move on. We shouldn't read these verses and walk away with some brazen kind of false sense of bravado that, oh yeah, I'm going to go face persecution. Jesus doesn't say go looking for it, right? Will it happen? Yes, but we don't have to go hunt for it. It's going to come to us. So he says, in the meantime, be intentional. Go from place to place. Maximize the gospel everywhere that you go. And if you're opposed, move on to the next place. That's what we see the disciples do. That's what Paul did, right? Paul didn't stay in the same place just to get beat over and over again. He'd move on to the next place and share the gospel where he could get beat there, right? And every place was good enough. Jesus says, go, and as you go, share the gospel and move on as you face opposition. Not because we're scared, but because we're trying to be wise and trying to be smart. But here's what he says. He says, you're going to go from town to town. And he said, you won't make it through all of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Now, this verse is interesting. It's been debated for years. What did Jesus mean? What's he talking about? Because obviously the disciples, I mean, Israel's not a big area, right? You could go over Israel 1,000 times over in the 2,000 years it's been since Jesus walked this earth. What did Jesus mean? There's different ideas and different opinions. I believe, based on study, that Jesus is referring here to his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. Daniel speaks about the Son of Man rising on the clouds to be with the Father. I believe that's what Jesus is referring to. But there's obviously an application for his second coming, right? Jesus came once in the form of a baby, but the Bible tells us he's going to come again. And that as he comes, he's going to establish his new kingdom. And what he's telling us here is this: we have plenty to do in the meantime. Keep faithful. Keep sharing Jesus. Keep walking with him. Go from town to town. Share the gospel. And he's going to come. In fact, he's already planning to come. The Son of Man is on his way. So we need to be faithful and intentional to share Jesus while we can. All of this you can sum up in a couple of verses from 1 Peter. Jesus tells us we're going to face persecution. We need to be wise and innocent and bold and faithful and all these things. Peter sums it up nicely. You remember we studied these verses a few months ago. 1 Peter 3:14. Even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that's within you. Do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience so that when you're slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. Will we be persecuted? Yes, but we can do it the right way. Without fear, without sacrificing our morals, we live for Christ even in the face of being opposed for Christ. So Jesus warns us and he instructs us. But Jesus leaves us with some good news. Anybody ready for some good news? This has been just the most encouraging sermon I know. Jesus gives us here some promises. Look with me lastly at how Jesus encourages us. He encourages us as we go. Three promises here that Jesus makes for us, even as we face persecution. Number one, we will be aided by the Spirit. We'll be aided by the Spirit. Verse 19, what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it's not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Listen to this promise. Jesus says, if you faithfully follow me, you will face persecution, but you will not face it alone. You will not stand there by yourself. You'll not fumble around your words. Why? Because I am going to give you my Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to be within you and with you. And the Holy Spirit will guide you, even in the face of persecution. Think about all those applications we just talked about, right? We should be wise. We should be innocent. All those things. How are we supposed to do that? By the power of the Spirit. Where does wisdom come from? From the Spirit. Where does purity come from? From the Spirit. Where does boldness come from? From the Spirit, right? The Spirit is the one who equips us and enables us to faithfully face persecution. And Jesus promised us he would give us his Spirit. In fact, later on in the Gospels, he tells the disciples this very thing. Listen to these words. John 14, he says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Let them not be afraid. Listen, persecution is not a fun thing to anticipate. But Jesus promises us when we face it, we will not face it alone. His Spirit is with us. But there's another promise that he gives us. Not only will we be aided by the Spirit, but ultimately, he says, we'll be saved. We will ultimately be saved. Verse 22, you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. You talk about polar opposites. Sentence number one, everybody's going to hate you as you follow Jesus. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. Even though everybody hates you, in the end, no matter what, you will be saved. You will see Jesus. Listen to me. Is persecution awful? Yes. Think about all the things believers have gone through throughout history, the torture and the death that believers have faced simply for following Jesus. I don't want that, and I don't think you do either. But here's the reality. It comes to those who follow Christ. But here's what Jesus says. It's worth it. It's worth it. Because in the end, we're going to see Jesus. In the end, we are going to stand before him in glory, and there's not going to be any more suffering. There's not going to be any more persecution. There's no more pain. There's no more of the things that we just talked about. Because we're going to be with Jesus. I want to share with you a verse here. You know these verses. We've shared them before from Romans chapter 8. You know this passage of scripture. Sometimes we forget it's mentioned in the context of persecution. Listen to what Jesus said. Romans 8, or what Paul said, what the Spirit speaks through Paul. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? As it's written, for your sake we're being killed all the day long. We are regarded, notice it, as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen to me, church. If you face persecution for following Jesus, the world can't take your salvation away. Satan, he can attack you, he can come against you, but he cannot steal your salvation. You are secure in Christ. And the worst thing the world can do is take the life of a believer. Well, guess what? You just get an early admission into heaven. There's a lot worse things than that. Amen? We'll be persecuted for following Jesus. Jesus tells us that, but he promises his Spirit and he promises us our salvation. But there's one last thing he promises and we'll be done. He promises that we'll see Jesus soon. We'll see Jesus soon. Verse 23 says, when they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. Truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Now hang with me here. I mentioned to you earlier that that I believe that Jesus is referring here to his ultimate resurrection and his ascension. And what does he do after his resurrection and after his ascension? Well, he sends the disciples out. And he tells them, I want you to go. You remember Acts 1? I want you to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. You've heard the gospel. Go preach the gospel. But what does he tell us again? He says, I'm coming back. The Son of Man is coming. What did the angels tell the disciples? The very guys Jesus is talking to here. Acts chapter 1, what do they tell the disciples? Acts 1:11, listen to this. The angels said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven. Listen to me. In the meantime, Jesus hadn't come back yet, but he's coming. In the meantime, things might get hard. The world might go to the pot. You know what? Persecution may ramp up. Even here, we may lose freedoms. We may face some of the very things Jesus is talking about. We should be ready, but here's what we know. Jesus is going to come. And as he comes, he's going to come and he's going to make all things new and he's going to make all things right. Because when he comes the second time, Jesus is not going to come as a meek and mild little baby in a manger. Jesus is going to come as a king. He's going to come riding a white horse. He's going to come with a sword in his hand because he is the righteous judge. And you know what he's going to do? He's not only going to make all things new, he's going to reward those who walk with Christ. And he is going to punish those who oppose Christ and oppose those who do. He's going to make all things right when he comes again. And he's coming. So even as we look at persecution, is persecution coming? Yes, but Jesus is coming too. And we know that he's coming and we can look forward to that day with great hope and great anticipation. So here's the thing. We look at these verses and listen, they're not the easiest ones to think through. They're not the easiest ones to preach from. We like the warm and the fuzzy and the cuddly. We think that following Jesus is meant for a life of pleasure and comfort. It's not at all what Jesus says. So what do we do? Well, we're called to share Jesus. We're called to follow Jesus. We're called to proclaim the gospel of Jesus, even if the world hates us for doing so, even if it opposes us for doing so. So what's our application this morning? I just want to leave you with two things. Number one, maybe you're here this morning and maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Today, this message is not about what you can expect with persecution. Instead, maybe you're the one persecuting people. Maybe you're the one who's opposed to Jesus and opposed to those who do. Listen, just because you're here in church today doesn't mean that you love the Lord. Maybe there's somebody here who doesn't have a relationship with him. Listen, that doesn't have to be your story. It doesn't have to be your fate. Jesus loves even people who persecuted him. Hello, Paul, right? Lived his whole life opposing Jesus, and Jesus called him to himself. Maybe today you're a Saul or a Paul that Jesus wants to turn from that life and give forgiveness and hope and salvation. How do you do it? You repent of your sin and you place your faith in Jesus Christ as your only hope and you follow him. Maybe you need to do that today. Or you know what? Maybe you're here and maybe you're a believer. Maybe you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. What do we need to do? I entitled today's message, Lambs and Lashes, right? Jesus said we're going to be like sheep who are going to be slaughtered, facing the lash, facing flogging, facing persecution. But there's another connection there I think we need to see. When Jesus tells us that these are the things we need to expect, understand this is not something that Jesus himself has not already faced. Think back to that nativity scene, right? Why are we celebrating Christmas? We celebrate it because Jesus came. The Son of God came. He came as a baby in a manger, right? And what do we call him? We call him what? The Lamb of God. The perfect, spotless, pure offering for our sins. That was Jesus, right? He came as the Lamb. But how was he treated? He was rejected. He was opposed. He was beaten. He was mocked. They ripped the hair out of his beard and they ultimately nailed him to a cross. Why? So that you and I could have salvation and forgiveness and the hope of eternal life, and so that we could go and proclaim that message to the world around us. The very words that we just read, Jesus experienced them, and he promises to be with us as we experience them too. So what's our application? We already looked at it. Be wise, be innocent, be bold, be pure, be all those things, knowing that Jesus in the end is going to make it worth it as we follow him. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for its truth. And God, I thank you that you don't shy away from hard subjects. God, you warn us about the things that are to come. I pray, Lord, that we would not read these verses and say, well, I'm glad I don't have to worry about that. Because, Father, if we faithfully follow you, we will. And God, sometimes we get so locked into our lives of comfort, we don't follow you the way we should because we want to blend in. I pray, God, that every believer in this room would be emboldened in our walk with you today, knowing that no matter how hard it gets, Father, you're going to be faithful. Or God, maybe today for the first time you're calling someone to step out and follow you. Lord, would you speak to our hearts? Help us to be obedient. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.